A Pair of Blue Eyes by Thomas Hardy. Dramatized for radio in 3 episodes by Jane Beeson. With Janet Moore as Elfriede Swancourt, Michael Maloney as Stephen Smith, and Nigel Stock as Parson Swancourt. Episode 1.
Mr. Swancourt to Mr. Hubie. Endelstow Rectory, February the 18th, 1868. Sir, thank you for your letter in reply to mine of the 12th inst concerning the restoration of this church. I'm pleased to hear that you're sending your assistant, Stephen Smith, to visit us in order to survey and make detailed drawings of the aisle and tower. And I'm glad that he has decided to take advantage of my offer to accommodate him.
You're coming here on business, are you, sir?
Yes, my firm have sent me down here.
I guess it must be business to bring you out these parts at this time of year. Most of them comes this way in the summer, when there's a better climate altogether. General Stowe's right ahead of us, set down in the hollow. You see now, poking out the trees? The chimneys is the top of the rectory.
All round us, dusk was gathering. My driver, ever anxious to impart information on the district and its inhabitants, told me that the large house we were now passing belonged to the Luxilians, who, he hastened to add, would have been no better than any other family hereabouts, except for a stroke of good fortune in the time of Charles II. Although I felt inclined to doubt the accuracy of my driver's story, it caused me to meditate on the way chance can determine our lives, and to feel a certain quickening of anticipation for the task ahead of me.
Oh, you startled me.
I'm sorry, but your man brought me in by way of the kitchen quarters.
Oh, you must be Mr. Smith.
Yes.
I'm Miss Swancourt. I'm sorry that my father's not here to meet you, but his forte is giving him trouble.
Oh, no, it is my fault for arriving early. I hope Mr. Swancourt is not in too much pain.
Oh, no. In fact, he hopes to be up and about tomorrow to show you the church. As you see, we live quite quietly, my father and I. He only took the living 2 years ago.
I hope I have not put you or your father to any inconvenience by my visit.
Oh, no. It's a pleasure for us to have visitors. We haven't many friends that live near. In fact, our nearest neighbours are the Luxilians. Otherwise, there's no one but the villagers. I'm sure you're tired, Mr. Smith. I hope you'll be comfortable in the room we've chosen for you. Unity has put a warming pan in your bed.
Oh, it's very kind of you, Miss Swancourt, to have gone to so much trouble.
It hasn't been a trouble. From your window, you can see the cliff tops where I go riding. On a clear day, you can see the sea in the cove. Tonight, you'll hear the surf breakers. If you follow me, I'll show you up. For this house is quite old, you know, and rambles a bit.
I think it has very pleasant proportions.
Papa?
Hmm?
Papa, he's come. Such a young person for a businessman.
Oh, indeed.
His face is, well, fresh. Just like mine.
What else?
Nothing. That's all I know of him yet. Oh, but, oh, Papa, I'm so relieved he's not old and stiff in his manner. Not at all how I imagined a man from London.
We shall see. Tell him I would like to have a few words with him if he doesn't mind coming to my bedroom.
Papa, he's coming now.
Well, you go then, Elfie, and warn Unity he has arrived for dinner.
Yes, Papa.
Show him in here.
Yes, Papa. Papa's in here, Mr. Smith, and would like to see you.
Oh, thank you.
Come in, Mr. Smith. You'll have to excuse me receiving you like this.
Good evening, sir.
Yes, sit down.
Thank you.
We can't afford to stand on ceremony in these parts. You had a good journey and will be comfortable here, I hope.
Oh, yes, sir, on both counts.
Elfriede is looking after you.
Oh, indeed she is. Most excellently.
Now, if you pass me my portfolio.
Yes, sir.
Thank you. This tower of ours, as you will notice, has entirely gone beyond the possibility of restoration. You are quite competent, I take it?
I believe so, sir.
You're very young. I fancy not more than 19, eh?
I am just over 20, sir.
And I'm past 50. Be grateful for your youth, Mr. Smith, and be thankful for the good blood in your veins. I know something of you, you see?
You belong to the family of Fitzmaurice Smiths of Caxbury. I looked you up in the landed gentry as soon as I saw your initials.
I am not related, sir, as far as I'm aware.
Yes, it says here. Where was I? Yes, now look here. Stephen Fitzmaurice Smith. Living in London, but springing from Caxbury. Your father,
eh? I have seen his monument, but there is no connection between his family and mine.
Not to your knowledge, possibly, but it's clear enough in these records. You may be only a family of professional men now, and believe me, I'm not inquisitive. I don't ask questions of that kind. It's not in me to do so. But plainly, this is your origin. Let me congratulate you, Mr. Smith, on your blue blood.
I wish you could congratulate me upon some more tangible quality.
Mr. Smith, tell me quite truthfully.
Very much indeed. You sing with a rare clarity and freshness.
Do you really think so? Are you sure you'd like me to go on? Or did you just ask me because my father insisted you should? He often makes poor guests listen to my singing, which is quite dull for them and embarrassing for me. He's rather deaf himself, as I expect you noticed.
Yes. I can assure you, Miss Swancourt, I did not find your singing at all dull. Indeed, I cannot imagine ever doing so.
Oh. Well, then, I might play and sing a little more, if you're still sure you'd like me to.
Oh, yes, please.
Perhaps I should sing you this one, because it is my favorite. I'll sing it for you, Mr. Smith, because you are sympathetic and really care for my singing.
Elfriede Swancourt imprinted herself indelibly on my memory that evening. A young woman in a pale grey silk dress with trimmings of swan's down, opening at a point on her breast like a waistcoat without a shirt. The candle on the piano illumined her hair in a hazy wreath, her hands poised on the keys, her lips parted. From time to time, she turned to look at me. When she did so, I had the curious feeling that I was looking into the depths of herself through her blue eyes, rather than at their misty beauty.
Here we are, then. Wild enough place, isn't it?
The tower must certainly catch the wind up here. What a sight to have chosen.
Look to the left of you, Mr. Smith.
Yes?
Those cliffs you can glimpse the far side of the cove are some of the highest in the west. Get Elfriede to take you along the top of them. It's quite a sight on a clear day, even for inhabitants like ourselves.
I'll certainly ask Miss Swancourt if I can accompany her one day. But how fortunate you are, sir, to have such a gem of a church.
It's a pleasant enough, unpretentious little place. You see what I mean by the state of the tower?
Yes, I see.
Which part exactly of the church is it you are sketching, Mr. Smith?
Detail from the end of that pew over there.
Yes, I see. Well, I'm sure Papa will like them. But don't be cross with me, will you, Mr. Smith, if I say they're just a little boring? But of course it's not your fault at all, for you are paid to do them in such a way. Mr. Smith, didn't you hear me? Oh, very well. I see you are much too busy to talk and that I am interrupting you. I shall let you work on your own. And go up into the pulpit and imagine myself a preacher.
I have to complete this one, Miss Swancourt, or your father will complain about me to Mr. Hubie. But I can talk at the same time, if you'll allow it.
Oh, don't trouble yourself about me at all. I'm used to being on my own. Don't tell Papa, will you, Mr. Smith, if I tell you something?
Of course I won't.
It's just that I write Papa's sermons for him very often, and he preaches them better than he does his own. Then afterwards, he talks to people and me about what he said, and forgets completely that I wrote it for him. But isn't it absurd?
You must be a good writer. I couldn't write a sermon for the world.
Oh, it's easy enough. Not like when I wrote my novel. The main thing I have to remember with Papa is to put "keep your voice down" at the back of every sheet. Otherwise, he gets louder and louder, till at the end he shouts like a farmer up a field.
You can't have heard many songs in London, Mr. Smith, or you wouldn't have taken so much notice of mine last night.
Perhaps it was the way it was sung that intrigued me.
I think you mock me.
No, I don't. You think that as I come from London, I must be a part of its social life. But in fact, my life is as quiet as yours, Miss Swancourt. You quite mistake what I am.
It's true, you're not how I thought you would be. But I'm glad of that. You're not critical or experienced. I don't even mind singing songs in front of you that I only half know. Yeah. Oh, don't misunderstand me. I mean, you are the better, not the worse for it, because you don't think my life here is so very dull.
Oh, I certainly do not. It must be fresh and full of poetry and...
There, you see? Well, other men, when I get them to be honest enough to tell me the truth, think just the reverse. That my life must be dreadfully boring for most of the time, though pleasant for the exceptional few days they spend here.
I could live here always.
But you can't live here always.
No.
There you are, Elfriede.
Oh.
I wondered where you'd got to.
I was just about to go, Papa. Thank you for showing me your sketches, Mr. Smith.
It was a pleasure.
May I look at your sketches too, Mr. Smith?
Yes, please.
Little flyaway. But you're not really a wild child at all. As steady as you. And that you are steady, I see from your diligence here.
She is certainly very intelligent. I understand she has already written a novel.
Oh, yes. And sent it off for publication. There's not much she can't do, and that's the truth. Yes. I like these. Clear and accurate. You're obviously a very capable draftsman.
I have completed several sketches of the pew ends, but there are other details to copy. And I've not yet begun my survey. I'm afraid the job may take a little longer than Mr. Hubie anticipated. Another 4 or 5 days.
Forgive me for asking, Mr. Smith, but is it bad news in your letter? You look almost forlorn.
Mr. Hubie has sent for me. I'll have to go back to London.
He must think a great deal of you, or he wouldn't be so anxious to get you back. Never mind. You must come again on your own account. In August, perhaps.
Oh, yes, please. Oh, do. We're always so lonely when our visitors go away.
Today, then, is your last day. Well, you ought to do something special, shouldn't we, Elfriede? Let me see. Why not a drive to Targan Bay, returning by way of Endelstow House?
I believe the Luxillians are away, Papa, except for the children.
Quite right, Elfie. They're in London at present, but Lord Luxillian has asked me to search his desk for a paper among his private documents. And while I'm about the business, you and Mr. Smith can wander around the house, see the rooms. The staircase is superb, and the hall and gallery. There are a few good pictures, too.
Yes, there are.
Have you seen the place, then?
Only as I passed by, but the paintings I've heard are famous.
Well, certainly worth having a look at. Well, what do you think of my plan?
I'd enjoy it, sir.
Oh, well done, Papa. I'll go and call Unity to help me get ready. Unity?
Unity? Elfie is so impetuous. No sooner mention a thing to her than it's done.
Oh, well, come. You never said you were coming.
I arrived just a few minutes ago. I dropped in by chance with my father and my guest, Mr. Smith.
Oh.
These are the Luxillians' children, Kate and Polly.
How do you do?
Pleased to meet you. Miss Swancourt, if you'll excuse me, I'll leave you to your little friends for a few moments.
Oh.
I want to look for one of the paintings your father mentioned earlier. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Oh, kiss me, Miss Swancourt, like you kissed Polly.
Hug me again. One for Kate and one for Polly. There, is that fair?
Yes. Oh, I wish you lived here. Mama can't play half so nicely as you do.
That's because your poor Mama has not been well.
Never mind, you can both come and stay with me soon. But now you must run along because I have to look after Mr. Smith.
Can we come with you?
No, not today. But I'll come again soon, I promise.
I'll get with you.
Oh, Papa, did you see where Mr. Smith went?
No, I'm afraid I didn't. But he can't be far. Look in the gallery. I'm rather busy going through these papers.
Mr. Smith? Mr. Smith? Mr. Smith? All these pictures. So many, I don't know which to look at. Stephen? Stephen, where are you? No. I mustn't hurry. Mustn't call him. He might think that I'm anxious to be with him and that his company is important to me. Oh, it is childish of me not to be content on my own. Why should I want Stephen to share in everything with me? I don't need him. I shall forget him. Oh, where am I? I've never been to these quarters of the house before. The courtyard. Opposite me, a lamp is lit. A blind is drawn across the window. Shadow directly behind it. I can see their profile. Stephen. No. Can't be him. Can't. What's with him? A woman. He's putting something around her. Carefully fastening it for her. You're kissing her. Oh, it's all like a bad dream. I can't stop myself trembling for jealousy or his anger. I can't bear to look. I can't bear it.
Oh, Miss Swancourt, at last I found you. Where have you been?
Looking for you. I thought perhaps you might know some of the members of this household, Mr. Smith.
Not a single one. How should I?
Who's that?
One of the people that work here, I suppose.
Stephen, weren't you with someone just now?
I think this great echoing house must have played on your imagination. Oh. Tell me exactly, what was it you heard that so upset you?
Oh, it was nothing. And I'm not in the least upset.
Elfriede! Elfriede!
There's Papa. We'll have to go.
Martin will be here with the carriage in a moment, Mr. Smith.
Thanks, sir. Ah, up so early, Elfriede.
It's early for you too, Papa.
It's a tribute to Mr. Smith that we're both up to see him off.
You should neither of you disturb yourselves on my account, especially not you, Miss Swancourt.
While we're waiting, shall we walk to the summer house? It's very spectacular at this hour of the morning.
I can think of no way I'd rather spend my last few minutes here.
The mist lies in the valley, and we on the hilltop look down on it.
Miss Swancourt, I have to say goodbye, for I shall never see you again, I suppose.
On the contrary, you must come again, Mr. Smith, like Papa said.
Oh, I should like to. But it will be better if I don't.
I don't understand your meaning. Why?
Circumstances make it ill-advised. Not for me, but for you.
As if anything in connection with you could hurt me. Oh, I know why you won't come. You don't want to. You'll go home to London to your friends there and will never want to bother with us again.
No, that isn't true.
And go on writing letters to the lady you're engaged to, just as before.
I am not engaged.
You wrote to a Mrs. Somebody. I saw it in the letter act.
A woman in a stationer's shop.
Well, you needn't have explained it. It was not my business in the first place. Tell me this. Does any meeting of yours with a lady at Endelstow House interfere with our friendship?
It does not.
So you will come in August?
I should like to. Oh, how I should like to. I returned as the Swancourt's guest in the summer, my excuse being that I needed to make further drawings of the pew ends. I arrived at sunset, but did not visit the rectory until the same time on the following day.
Did you mean to put your bishop exactly there, Mr. Smith?
I did, but I regret it now.
I'll allow you to take it back.
Oh, no, we'll stick by the rules. Your move. Miss Swancourt, I don't believe you were concentrating. I take your queen.
Oh, how silly of me not to have seen. Tell me why you handle your chessmen so strangely.
Do I? I'm sorry?
It was not important, but who taught you to play?
I learned from a book lent me by my friend, Henry Knight. He's the finest man in the world. He taught me all the Latin and Greek I know, too.
How long did he teach you for?
4 years, on and off. I sent him exercises twice a week, and he corrected them and then sent them back.
Oh, I believe you've got me checkmate. Yes, you have.
Miss Swancourt, I think you've been allowing me the advantage. This is the second game I've won, yet you are far the superior player.
What if I have?
It makes for no fun in the game.
Forgive me, please do. I see now that what I did must seem like contempt for your skill. But I promise you that was not how I meant it. You fought at such a disadvantage and so manfully.
Oh, you are cleverer than I am. You can do everything and I can do nothing. Do you know that you're so beautiful, Alfred? That I have to keep looking at you. I can't concentrate on what I'm doing. I think of you all the time.
Oh, Stephen.
Elfrida, I have to tell you that I love you. During the months I've been away, I've never stopped dreaming of us. Together.
You must not now. Papa may come. Oh, please go back to your chair.
Let me kiss you only once.
No, not once.
Just on your cheek.
No.
On your forehead.
No, Stephen.
You love someone else. I thought as much.
I don't.
But you don't love me, even a little.
Well, how can I tell? No, please go back to your seat. Papa's coming.
Tomorrow, then. Will you tell me if you love me tomorrow?
There now, my beauties. Quietly now. You'll soon be off.
I believe Miss Swancourt intends going along the clifftops. I understand it's not far.
Just no great distance on horseback.
Oh, I'm sorry if I've kept you waiting, Mr. Smith. Before we set off, I have a favor to ask you.
What is it?
Could you watch my earrings for me? They are my best ones, my favorites.
Of course.
You'll have to watch them closely. You are to use Papa's horse. Oh, I see by your face you don't ride.
I'm sorry to say I don't.
Fancy a man who can't ride.
Miss Swancourt, I should be perfectly happy to walk while you ride. I am a good walker.
Yes, I suppose we could do that. It does seem a shame to waste such a lovely day.
Then that is decided. Let me help you mount.
If you know how. Do you?
It is true I'm not familiar with helping a lady up side saddle.
Then I'll use the mounting block. Take Papa's horse back to the stable, Martin.
Right,
tell him Mr. Smith is accompanying me on foot. He's looking at me. I want him to think me special. Beautiful, even. I feel guilty, ashamed. But Stephen doesn't know I like him to watch me. And I can't help it. So perhaps it doesn't matter.
Have you ever seen such high cliffs? I never cease to wonder at them.
That is because you are new to them. I ride here so often I forget their danger. Though they do look frightening in misty weather, so black, and only the sound of the sea battering on the rocks beneath. You're not listening.
I was watching you. Come a little closer.
No, Stephen, you mustn't. We've not known each other long enough.
How long doesn't count? It is more the quality of knowing.
But Papa would not like us to do such things.
Elfie, I wish we could be married. It is wrong of me to ask, I know, before I've told you everything about me, but I still wish it. Do you love me deeply?
No. I mean, I don't know. I didn't intend to stop you quite from telling me you love me.
If you say it again, perhaps I shall not mind so much.
Well, Reed. Wealthy.
Oh, Steve.
I would like to ask you to wait for me, to be my wife. But it's not possible.
Why not?
Your father would never allow it. There is something I haven't told you that would prevent his agreeing. Even you might change your mind.
I love you for your nature, Stephen. Nothing could change that.
Nothing?
Nothing whatever. What do I care for other people's opinions?
You cannot judge until you know everything.
Well, if it's so important, then why don't you tell me everything?
Be patient with me.
I will, I promise. I think we should start back now. The wind's getting cold.
If you say so.
Besides, Papa may worry about us if we are gone too long. You shall help me mount this time, Stephen. I shall bend my leg, so.
Yes.
And you will put your hand under it.
Yes.
Now, up. There. We managed.
I'll do it better next time. Shall I ask your father tonight about our engagement?
Tomorrow would be better. Are you thinking what to say to Papa?
No, I was wishing my friend Knight could be here. He could have advised me. I think he's the most intelligent man I've ever met.
He must certainly be very interesting to take up so much of your thoughts.
He's more than interesting, he's exceptional.
Oh, yes, I forgot. What does he do?
He writes for a literary review in the main. It is more worthwhile than being a novelist.
Stephen, are you saying this because you know I have written a novel?
Of course not, Elfie. I mean, he's a literary man of eminence. I should love to be on really intimate terms with him. As it is, I know him more as a teacher.
I believe you like him better than me. You make me jealous.
Well, you mustn't think that. The feeling is entirely different. Oh, Elfie.
What is it?
One of your earrings is missing. I forgot to watch them.
Oh, they are my prettiest. What can we do?
I'll go back now and find it. I'll go right away before it gets dark.
Can you remember the way?
Yes, of course.
Oh, I do hope you can find it. Be as quick as you can. And if you can find it, then perhaps you could ask Papa about getting engaged.
Stephen not here?
No, Papa. He went back to look for my earring.
The earring?
It dropped off, perhaps when we rested to look at the sea. The cliffs looked magnificent today, Papa. Mr. Smith remarked upon them.
I expect our coast is a novelty to him. There's not many to compare with it.
He has been gone rather a long time.
He's a delightful young man, is Mr. Smith. A nice companion for you, Elfie.
I think, Stephen, Mr. Smith wants to speak to you about something in the morning.
Oh. Oh, quite right.
He said there was a lot he must tell you, and me, about himself.
I shall be only too pleased to listen. He should go far, Elfie. I'd say he's ambitious. And what's more, he comes from a very old family. Related to them, anyway. Landowners near Caxbury, I believe.
Oh, really, Papa, does that matter?
It means a very great deal, I'm afraid. As you'll learn when you get older.
Oh, how I wish you would come.
Elfrid?
Yes?
Elfrid, I'm sorry I've been so long.
Stephen, have you been all this time looking for my ear?
Oh, no, not quite. I'm afraid I didn't find it. I searched everywhere. I'll buy you some new ones, Elfie.
Never mind, though they were my prettiest. Oh, hold me close. I was terribly afraid you might have fallen over the cliff.
Elfrid, I think I ought to speak to your father now and not put it off.
Will what you have to say upset our happiness?
I don't know, but it must be said.
Wouldn't it be better to wait until tomorrow? I meant you to Papa. You might want to talk to him then.
I am keyed up to speak now, Elfie, so don't stop me. Where is your father?
Out in the kitchen garden. That's his favorite place in the evenings. Oh, how I hope it will be all right.
Yes.
Tell Papa everything. He likes you so much, Stephen. I'm sure he will be sympathetic. Stephen has been gone for half an hour. What will he say to Papa? How will he explain? Oh, if only I could be there to help. It's getting dark outside, but the sky still has a red glow from the sunset. Oh, what can I do to calm myself? How long must I lean on this sill trying to hear if they are beneath me? Why is it all so difficult? Do I truly love Stephen? What's that? Just a bat. No. Papa. That's not Stephen with him. What could have happened? It's so dark, I can't see anything. I don't believe it's Papa at all. Can it be Stephen with that woman again? He can't be keeping secrets from me. I can't. I won't wait any longer. I'll go down and look in the garden. Stephen?
Yes? I haven't yet spoken to your father. I couldn't bring myself to. Oh, you must have thought I was never coming back.
I wasn't thinking of you at all.
Is there something the matter, Elfie?
No, nothing. Stephen?
Yes?
Has your difficulty in speaking to Papa got anything to do with someone just now on the lawn?
What are you talking about?
Exactly what I say. Were you with someone on the lawn under, directly under my window?
I don't understand what you mean. I certainly wasn't with anyone.
You promised me you know nothing about it at all.
Nothing whatever.
Oh, Stephen, I'm so relieved. I couldn't believe it of you. But why didn't you speak to Papa?
I couldn't find him. And I lost courage. Like you, I suppose, I wanted our happiness to last just a little longer.
I still think we should tell him. I want him to know we love each other.
Of course. But I decided I wanted to tell you what I have to first. Shall we walk towards the church?
Mm.
I feel calmer out here under the stars. We could sit on this gravestone. It's still warm from the sun.
No, not there.
Why not?
Oh, very well, if you want to. I don't mind.
Elfie.
Yes?
Will you still love me? In spite of everything?
Oh, what makes you keep asking that? You know I will.
Have you ever thought what my parents are like? What background I may come from?
No. I have observed one or two little points in your manners which are quaint. No more. I imagine you to have moved among professional people.
Supposing I haven't. That I am the only one in my family with a profession.
I'm only concerned with you.
What if I told you my father is a cottager? And a master mason?
It comes as a strange idea to me. But really, what does it matter?
Aren't you angry with me for not telling you sooner?
No. Is your mother alive?
Yes. She's the best mother in the world. She's a dairy worker.
Well, I love you just the same for making your way in the world.
That is mainly due to Henry Knight.
Oh, always we come back to him.
Well, it's quite natural we should. Because he educated me, taught me how to use my mind.
No more of Henry Knight, please, Stephen. We should be thinking of ourselves. Nothing you have told me is so dreadful. In fact, that sort of origin is getting to be respected. People making their way, going to London with a sixpence in their pocket.
Oh, has hearing this made you stop loving
me? Of course not. But has it anything to do with the shadow of you in a room at Lord Luxillian's? With a lady?
That was my mother.
Your mother?
Yes. You know my parents, Elfried. By sight, at least.
Do I?
My father is John Smith, Lord Luxillian's master mason.
You mean you, the London visitor, were actually born here in this village?
Yes, but I haven't lived here since I was 9. I went to London at 15 to work as a pupil in an architect's office.
No wonder you seem to know your way about the village.
My mother curtsied to you and your father last Sunday.
Yes, I remember.
Yet your father still convinces himself I have blue blood.
Yes, I see why you are so worried. Oh, Stephen, it wouldn't have mattered so much if they had lived far away. Papa would not have minded so much.
Henry Knight is not worried that I'm only a cottager's son, so why should your father be?
I never loved anybody but you, Stephen. Yet you keep on so about Henry Knight. All the time you hold him up as an example of perfection. You must love him a very great deal.
It must have been someone you loved before you met me.
No. Just someone who loved me. A long time ago. A year ago.
Where is he now?
Here.
Here? What do you mean by that?
I mean that he is beneath where you are sitting. That is his gravestone. He died of consumption.
Elfie, how odd you are. Why didn't you say?
I tried to tell you I didn't want to sit here, but you would have it.
Did you encourage him?
Of course not.
Let's get away from here. I feel quite upset that we are so close to someone that loved you. Who was he?
Felix Jeffway. His mother hates me. She says I killed him.
Oh, Elfie.
Well, how could I help it if Felix Jeffway fancied me? It's you I love only.
Come in. Oh, it's you, Martin. What can I do for you?
There's been an accident, sir.
What? Well, nothing serious, I hope.
It's John Smith, sir. His hand is...
Oh, I'm sorry, Papa.
Oh, come in, Elfie.
I didn't know you had someone with you.
Martin was just telling me about an unfortunate accident. Come in, Mr. Smith.
Thank you, sir.
Yes, Martin, go on.
Well, sir, John Smith was steadying the pile, and Nat hadn't meant to stop striking. When John put his hand upon the pile, Lamar was already coming down and...
Go on, I can't bear it.
...and squashed his hand to a pummy.
Oh, dear, oh, dear. Poor man.
John Smith? The Master Mason, did you say? Aye, no other. Well, I must be off, sir, if you'll allow it. Well, good night to you. And you, miss, I'm sure.
Good night.
Bad business, poor man. A lot of pain it'll cause him.
Will you excuse me this evening, Mr. Swancourt? You see, I must go to John Smith.
What?
Well, that is what I'd hoped to talk to you about this evening. He is my father.
What was that?
John Smith is my father.
Indeed.
So, if you'll excuse me, I have to go now. On my return, sir, would you please grant me a few moments alone with you?
Certainly. Though it seems impossible now that there can be anything of a private nature between us... Perhaps you two will excuse me, Mr. Smith. I have things to do. A word with you, Elfrid, before you go to bed. What have you to say to this sorry turn of events?
He was just coming to tell you.
Coming to tell? Why hadn't he told me long since? He'd been making a fool of both of us. You've been about together in a most unseemly way.
You knew, Papa, and never said anything.
My fault, of course. My fault. We Swancourts, connected to the Luxillians though we are, have been coming to nothing for centuries. And now I believe we've got there.
Oh, Papa, forgive us. We care so much for each other. All we ask is for you to allow an engagement. We don't ask to marry now, not until Stephen is a gentleman like you and richer.
Isn't it enough to have been deluded by him for so long? The son of one of my own villagers? Do you really expect me to make him my son-in-law?
But you've let him be alone with me almost entirely. You guessed, you must have guessed what we were thinking of and doing, and you didn't stop us.
Elfie, don't you understand? What Stephen has told me this evening completely alters the situation. He appeared a young man with well-to-do friends and a little property. Having neither, he is another man.
That is not true, Papa. He is the same man in every particular. How can he be less fit for me than he was before? He is... But what his profession makes him not fixed by his father's humble position. I think it honorable of him to be the best in his family. He is my own Stephen, he is...
Elfrid, throughout this county, which is the world to us, you would always be known as the wife of Jack Smith, the Mason's son, and not under any circumstances as the wife of a London professional man. The idea of bringing out a bottle of my 40 martinis. Only 11 left now for a man who had no palate. Go to your room, Elfrid. You'll get over this bit of tomfoolery in time.
No, 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 Papa. That would make me more miserable than anything else.
Any man discovering what I have discovered would have got rid of Stephen Smith as soon as the laws of hospitality allowed. Not for the world, of course, would I turn him out of doors. But he will surely have tact enough to see he cannot stay.
Stephen!
Father, how is your hand? I heard it was badly crushed.
Oh, it was painful at the time, I'll say that, but there's not a few days' rest for a man.
Oh, thank God for that.
Oh, you look tired out, Stephen. Hmm. What have you been doing to yourself?
Nothing. I'm worried rather than tired. The Swancourts know everything about me now. That's one good thing, I suppose.
Ah. Good boy. Now my mind's at peace.
I don't see what you have to grieve about, Stephen. People who accidentally become friends don't go telling the whole history of their families straight away.
There's more in this business of mine than you think.
Not more than I think, I'm sure. Oh, she's pretty enough and very much a lady. Clever, too. But although she's well enough fit for you as far as that... Well, mercy me, what do we want any woman at all for, yes?
Mother, to marry her would be the greatest blessing of my life. But she's too far above me. Her family won't want a country lad like me.
I thought that if her father would consider my becoming engaged to Elfriede, I would stay longer. Otherwise, I would go immediately. As I walked back from my parents' cottage, the soft musical sound of the stream beside me, the moonlight, the smell of the dew rising round me, all conspired to give me courage. I thought of myself as receptive, quick to learn, and quite capable of adapting myself to the society I found myself in with Elfriede. I had no pretensions to being creative or original. But as I looked up the valley that night to the lights of the rectory, so full of hope was I that it didn't seem to matter.
Stephen's back. He's in the study with Papa. My head aches. I'm filled with dread. I'm late. My anxiety grows with every moment. I'll say a prayer that Papa will understand. I wait on and on. The door opens. They're in the room beneath. I can hear the stiff way Papa is speaking. He can't have relented. They're coming up the stairs, passing my door. At last I hear Papa snore. Through the wall on the other side of my room, I hear Stephen shifting around. A lid closes. He's packing. I'm sure of it. I cannot bear not to know. I must speak to Stephen.
Stephen?
Elfriede?
I'll come in with you for a few minutes so we can talk. Yes. Papa will hear us otherwise. Is there any hope?
I am not to think of such a preposterous thing. That's what he said. And I'm going tomorrow. I was going to say goodbye to you before I left.
Oh, surely he didn't tell you to go, just like that.
Not in so many words, but I can't stay.
Oh, don't go.
Well, supposing your father should wake and find us?
When our whole future is at stake, how can we bother with such absurd ideas of propriety? Oh, Stephen, hold me close to you.
Oh. My little Elfie. Your father is cruel to us, but he is just. When I'm an established man, he'll accept me. Of that, I am sure.
But that will be so long. And meanwhile, you may meet others, beautiful women in London, who will take you away from me.
I shall never love anyone but you, Elfie.
You may. How can you tell? Well, don't go away.
I wish we could marry now.
So do I. Oh. I believe once we were married... Papa would reconcile himself to it. To us.
You do not feel that I would be stealing you?
No, how could I think that?
Then we will marry. You can follow me to Plymouth in 15 days and we'll be married there. Will you, Elfie?
Oh, give me time to think. What should I say? Oh. Yes. Yes, I will. Oh, Stephen. Do you think we love each other enough to last for years and years? Till we die? No need to go down to the house, postman. I'll take the letters.
Oh, thank you, miss. As a matter of fact, your father's met me most mornings these last few weeks. Yes, miss. I've got a letter for him every morning. Always written the same hand.
Oh, I see.
Oh, here he comes. Nothing for him today, Callum. Good morning to you, miss.
Good morning.
Up early this morning, out here. Was that the only letter?
Yes, Papa.
Who's it from?
Oh, it's nothing of importance. A detail to do with the printing of my novel. Papa, I was going to ask you if I could take Pansy tomorrow and ride to the station. There were several things I wanted to get in Plymouth, including scenes of this letter.
I don't like the idea of your going alone.
But I've done it before.
As a matter of fact, I shall be away myself tomorrow, so it's not a bad day if you insist on going.
Oh, thank you, Papa. I shall be quite all right, I promise you.
I hope you're not finding it lonely without the company of Stephen Smith. I myself have been too busy lately to give as much attention to you as I should have liked. But it will end to your benefit, Elfried. You will see. Oh, yes, you will see how our fortunes will improve.
Surely they must.
You'll see how clear-sighted I've been quite soon. Oh, yes, Elfie. Very soon, in fact.
Papa, if Stephen Smith had already been in the family, you wouldn't have worried too much about discovering he had poor relations, would you?
If you mean through marriage, then I suppose I should have had to put up with it. Under such circumstances, anyone would make the best of the situation. But, Elfried, please, don't harp on it so. It can only make you melancholy.
I shan't, Papa, truly. Where are you going tomorrow?
To Stratley. I'll tell you all about it when I come back, but just now I have a lot of things to see to.
Yes, Papa. I will tell you about my day in Plymouth, too, when I come back. Stephen.
Oh. Elfried, you've come.
Of course. You didn't think I'd break my promise. What's the matter?
I have a marriage license, but it can only be used in my parish in London. Here in Plymouth, it's no use. I can't think how I could have been so stupid.
Whatever shall we do?
There's only one thing we can do.
What is it?
Catch this train back to London and be married there.
London? So far.
Quick, Elfried! You must decide, or it will go without us.
Stephen, do you think we ought?
What's the difference? We would have married here. Quickly! You must choose.
Yes. Yes, I will. Oh, hurry, it's starting to move.
Rain beats on the carriage window. Stephen is dozing beside me. 5 hours. 5 long, jolting hours we've been in this train now. Shiver from the chill. Wipe a patch free on the misted window. Outside, a maze of rails cross and recross, coming together strangely. We are entering the station. Lamps. They're lighting the lamps. They blink through the drizzling rain. Rows and rows of ugly chimneys stand up starkly. A dread grows inside me. I feel more and more certain I've decided wrongly. Made a mistake. Is this London?
Yes, this is Paddington. I must have slept for a few minutes. Let me pass, Elfie, and I'll open our door.
Such a huge place. So gloomy. I feel quite nervous.
We'll go and find somewhere to get something to eat and drink. To warm you up.
No. Come on, Elfie. No. I don't want to. Oh, Stephen, I feel quite miserable. I don't know what's come over me. I think I should go home.
But Elfie...
Please don't try and change my mind. I know I'm to blame, but I don't like it here, nor myself, nor you. Oh, will you allow me to go back? You need not bother to come with me. Only say you will agree to my returning. Please, Stephen.
We can't return now.
I must. I have to, Stephen. You must understand. If only I could explain how wrong it all seems to me now.
But surely you don't want to go back directly, Elfie. Don't you want to think it over?
Oh, don't hate me for it, but please allow me to go.
Well, if you must go and think it wrong to stay, then you shall. You shall do as you like. But are you sure you would not rather stay till tomorrow and return as my wife?
Forgive me, but I'd rather go at once.
It ought not to be like this. We should either never have started or have returned married to each other. Going back unmarried may compromise your good name in the eyes of people who hear it.
No one will know.
I am to blame for bringing you here. Porter! Is there a train back to Plymouth tonight?
Up here they find it of so little importance they don't even answer. Is there a train for Plymouth tonight, can you tell me?
Yes, miss. 11:10 leaves in 10 minutes. You're on the wrong platform. The other side. Change of principle. Down that staircase and under the line.
If we run, we can catch it, Stephen. If you like, I'll go alone. I'll be right.
Come on.
Oh, this is the platform? Wait, Elsie, think once more. Are you sure this is what you want?
Oh, yes, Stephen, I am sure. I feel so much better now that I know that we can get back tonight.
Tickets, please. Sign the ticket. Thank you.
I cannot believe this is wise, Elsie, for you to go back unmarried.
I feel it is right for me, so I cannot do otherwise. But there's no need for you to come with me.
I shan't leave you till I see you safely back at St. Launce's. What kind of a person do you think I am? Get in, then. All our hopes have come to nothing.
Thank goodness we're here. Quickly, get between me and that woman over there. I think she's looking this way.
Who is it?
Mrs. Jeffrey. You remember my telling you about Felix Jeffway, whose grave is in the churchyard?
You mean that is his mother?
Yes. Oh, she's staring at us. I'm sure she recognizes me. What shall I do?
Now, calm yourself, Elsie. I don't expect she's interested in us. In fact, she's moving away.
She's my enemy. Oh, I should have married you in London, Stephen. I didn't think enough about the consequences. If she tells anyone she's seen us, I shall be disgraced.
What does it matter what people think? For sooner or later, we shall be married.
Oh, we must be. Don't misunderstand my turning back. I cannot exactly explain it, but I promise you that as soon as you have a home for me, even a humble one, you may come and claim me. Is Mrs. Jeffway gone? I daren't look round.
Yes, I think so.
Then I must go. What time is it?
6 o'clock. Kiss me, Elsie. Who knows how long it may be till we're next to each other.
My own Stephen. I shall love you always. Promise me you will come back for me soon.
Fifteen minutes later, I watched the pony bear Elfride away. She grew smaller and smaller as the distance between us widened. At last the sun slipped behind a cloud and her blue veil turned to grey. When she finally passed out of sight, I heard myself cry out her name for no one but myself to hear. With a sensation very close to agony, I turned back towards the town. Even then, I was aware of the fragility of promises.
That was Episode 1 of A Pair of Blue Eyes by Thomas Hardy, dramatized for radio by Jane Beeson. Elfride was played by Janet Moore, Stephen by Michael Maloney, and Parson Swancourt, Nigel Stock. John Smith, Alan Dudley, Mrs. Smith, Catherine Parr, Martin and driver, Sean Arnold, postman and guard, Michael Tudor Barnes. Polly and Kate were played by Patience Tomlinson and Jill Lidston. The pianist was Stuart Hutchinson. The director was Cherry Cookson.